Joining me tonight on Notably Texan is a singer, songwriter, and guitarist who's been an integral part of the music scene for more than 24 years. His songs have topped Texas, AAA, Americana, and country charts. He's produced albums for fellow Texas artists, and I'm honored to welcome to the program Radney Foster. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm fine and dandy.
It's a pleasure to get to talk to you for the first time. I've talked about you and played your music on the show for a long time now, but never had a chance to sit down and chat with you, so I appreciate you taking some time for Notably Texan.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine.
Radney and longtime compadre Bill Lloyd have reformed their duo Foster and Lloyd and will perform along with Chris Hillman and Herb Peterson in Greenville at the Kenneth Redgill Concert Series this weekend. Now, Radney, you're a Texas native. I think you grew up near the border with Mexico, right?
I did. I grew up in Del Rio, right on my house is a mile from Mexico. I could ride my bike there.
Oh, wow, man.
I did, yeah.
That's interesting. Well, with kind of the state of things as of late.
Yeah, you can't these days. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess.
I was going to say, things have kind of changed a bit since you grew up there, I assume.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you get to go back home very often?
I do indeed. As a matter of fact, I was just there doing a little benefit thing for the school that my mother taught school at.
Oh, wow.
25 years.
So oh, that's
that
cool.
Was really, really a neat sort of going home, you know, kind of thing. And it was a great deal of fun, and it raised money for a good cause for some scholarships.
That's fantastic. Well, that's great to hear. I know you're so busy. I wasn't sure how often you'd get to go back home to your hometown.
Yeah, I still have my, I and my family all live, I split my time between Nashville and San Antonio. The rest of my family lives in San Antonio full time.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I'm not there terribly often.
Sure.
But, you know, it's not that far away. It's a couple hours.
Okay, well, that's cool. Yeah, I was going to say, that's one of the closer, bigger landmarks on the map for anybody that doesn't know where Del Rio is. San Antonio's not too far. Now, I understand you started playing guitar, I think, at around the age of 12. Who were some of your musical inspirations growing up?
You know, they were really eclectic. And I've always mentioned, you know, people like everything from, you know, the Beatles to Merle Haggard to Neil Young to Waylon Jennings.
Oh, cool.
You know, and really it was my dad and his friends, because as a kid, I don't remember ever, at least once a month, there not being a Saturday night that, you know, somebody brought the potato salad, somebody brought the barbecue, somebody brought the beer, and everyone brought an instrument.
Okay.
And if it had three or four chords and they could figure it out, they would play, you know, Ain't Misbehaving by Fats Waller, followed by Hound Dog by Elvis.
Oh, nice.
You know, followed by a Merle Haggard song, you know, Swingin' Door. If they liked the song, they would, and it was simple, they would learn to play it, and they would play all night long. And, you know, I fell asleep in a parent's lap many a time as a child, you know, listening to that music. And so I think the eclecticism for me started there.
Nice. Well, obviously that fits right in here on Notably Texan. As I mentioned to you before the interview, we play a little bit of everything. It's only by Texas artists, so we don't get to play too much Elvis or Beatles. But there is a great band here in Texas that is called Beetlegrass that does nothing but Beatles covers and kind of a bluegrass.
Oh, you can, yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, now you're not the only one in your family with the music bug. Of course, you were just describing that that your father and a lot of his friends would play, but you're also related to Mark Foster of the band Foster the People, right?
I am not. This is a misnomer that
really
has happened on the. I have, unless it is, unless he is a very distant cousin, and I don't know it.
Okay.
But it says that he's my nephew, and he's not my nephew. I looked on his Wikipedia, on my Wikipedia site, it says that Mark Foster is my nephew. And I don't know how that happened.
Well, that's so weird. That's what I get for trusting the internet.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. I've had this come up in about three or four interviews.
Oh,
and he's a really talented guy. I like his band. You know, I wish I could take some credit, but I can't.
Well, glad to hear I'm not the only person who's asked you that.
No, you are not alone. Obviously, if Wikipedia has it up, you are not alone.
Well, geez. Well, there we go. Well, hopefully that's the only piece of misinformation I have about you, buddy.
I have a mind of mistakes I made, stone cold sober. Half of my mistakes I made at closing time. Half the time I never saw it coming. Till it was over. Oh, half of my mistakes I've made with love on the line. Half of my mistakes I swear I should have known better. mistakes. We're just lost friends. You get a little distance on it. The truth is clearer. On half of my mistakes, I'd probably make a move again. And if I had it all to do over, sure I'd win and lose just as much. But spend less time on right and wrong, and a lot more time on love. Half of my mistakes I made, I was moving too quickly. Half of them were made because my heart was moving too slow. Nobody can tell you a damn thing if you ain't listening. Oh, half of my mistakes I made because I couldn't let go. I'd give anything to change how it ended. Half of my mistakes, God, I wouldn't change a thing. You can lean too hard on regret, but I don't recommend it. 'Cause half a good
Rodney Foster from his 2006 solo album, The World We Live In, with Half of My Mistakes. Rodney joins me tonight via telephone on the Notably Texan feature interview. This is your station, 88.9 KETR. It was years later when you went to college in Tennessee, I believe, that you really started to play some of your first gigs and doing some kind of nightclub stuff. Talk about that experience.
Yeah, I mean, I had in high school, you know, my parents wouldn't let me play in a bar. That was not
sure.
But, you know, I played in church and sang for my friends or at backyard parties and had bands and that kind of thing. But then when I got to college, I fell in with a bunch of guys and they all came from the bluegrass world and some of them from the rock world. And we kind of formed, for lack of a better thought process, something that you would think of akin to what the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band was like.
Okay.
You know, because it had country instruments and yet it was rock and, but we really loved people like Guy Clark and Townes Van Zandt, real singer-songwriters, and we would cover a lot of that kind of stuff. But I started writing songs. Crazy story, but a guy came up, you know, after a gig and said, I don't know those three songs. I know all the songs you guys play, but I don't know those three songs.
Okay.
And he mentioned the title, and the guys in my band started laughing. And he said, who wrote those? And what band does those so I can get the record?
Yeah.
And they started laughing and said, you can't. He wrote them, you know. And so he says, man, I don't know jack squat about the music business. He said, but, you know, my college roommate, the guy was a little older. He seemed ancient to us. He was all about, I don't know, 25 or 6 probably, you know. But he said, man, one of my college roommates is now a big producer in Nashville. And I was like, yeah, right. And
sure.
So I, on a matchbook, literally on a matchbook, I write my dorm phone number, which is a payphone at the end of the hall.
Oh.
Right?
Nice.
It's the only phones we have in 1980. And, you know, sure enough, 2 weeks later, I have this note pinned to my, you know, I had a little cork board.
Yes.
Board, just like everybody else did. Rodney, call Brown Bannister at, you know, and it listed off a number in Nashville.
Wow.
And Brown Bannister had just won a Grammy for engineering BJ Thomas' comeback record, and had written songs for and recorded Kenny Rogers and was producing Amy Grant at the time. And I was like, holy smacks. That guy wasn't kidding.
Yeah.
You know? And Brown came, he had to go listen to some band that he was thinking about producing in Chattanooga. The school I went to was called Sewanee. It's a small liberal arts college on a mountain, Episcopal school on top of a mountain in Tennessee, in between Nashville and Chattanooga. And he came right by on the highway and then pulled in. I took him to my dorm room and played him four or five songs, and he just looked me square in the eye and he said, "Buddy, you need to think very seriously about doing this for a living." And I said, "You got to be kidding." He said, "Nope." He said, "I hear people all the time. People tell me, it's like, you got to go hear this kid. You got to go hear that. I'm the only reason I'm here is because a friend of mine told me that I should do it. And 99 times out of 100, it means nothing."
Right.
And I said, "A waste of my time." He said, "You are not. You really got something going on. You need to really seriously think about it."
You took that advice and actually left college.
I did. I left college, yeah. Much to my parents' chagrin.
Sure.
You know, I struggled for several years, you know, like everyone does in the music business.
Sure.
And I vacillated between Austin and Nashville most of the time, though, in Nashville, because my connections were there and there wasn't much going on in Austin. I finally, you know, got signed to a publishing company as an experiment, really.
Okay.
It wasn't because I'd done anything, you know. They just thought that kid might turn into something, you know. And I was making more waiting tables than I was when I got signed to the publishing.
Oh, man.
You know, that's how much of an experiment I was.
Yeah.
And I met Bill Lloyd there. Same deal. Their attitude was, you know, they signed some writers that they knew were professional writers that really knew what they were doing. And then they would sign five or six young bucks for cheap. And just say, well, that's worth a couple of years of trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens with that, you know. Because if it worked out after a couple of years, then they owned you for another five or six.
Oh, right.
And it worked out. And Foster and Lloyd, you know, within 2 years, we had a record deal, you know.
Yeah, and you guys did pretty darn well, I dare say. You charted like 9 singles, ended up releasing 3 albums.
Yeah, and Billboard now is the only chart that owns any of the history, because all of the others, you know, with the demise of all of the other trade magazines.
Yes.
Our first single went to number 3 in Billboard, but it was number 1 in all the other charts.
Oh, man.
So our first single was the first debut song by a duo in the history of country music to go to number 1.
Wow.
Not the Everly Brothers, not the Lubin Brothers, not, you know, the Delmores, or, I mean, any other duo. That had never happened. And Crazy Over You was a number 1 record for us. So
that's amazing. That had to be some great fuel to kind of get behind you guys and let you know you were doing
thing. Oh, gosh. I mean, it was like, coming out of the gate, our first gigs were, we opened 10 cities for Roy Orbison.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was our first gig.
Nice.
And it was a little intimidating.
Yeah, I would say.
Speaking of another Texan, you know, you can play a Roy song on your show.
Oh, you know? I do. I do play him quite often, as a matter of fact. So
yeah. So yeah, our first gig was opening 10 shows for Roy.
That's amazing.
And he was really, really great. And then, you know, and then it really did. It kicked into hot fire real quick. And we had a real neat run. We toured for 5 years, made 3 albums. It was a lot of fun. And then it just was time to do something different.
Sure, as these, you know, music collaborations go. I mean, that's kind of the way it works. Luckily, it was an amicable breakup.
Which is why we're back together again after 20 years.
Exactly, I was going to say. Otherwise, it would have taken some serious finagling, I would assume, to get you guys back together.
I
but
I think one of the reasons that we are back together is it happened organically. It wasn't like it wasn't an active thought process on our parts.
Okay.
And what happened was is we were invited to reform as a charity gig for the Americana Music Association. They put on every year at a couple of different clubs in Nashville, they put on a couple of things that will drum up some excitement and sell out a show, and they get the, you know, the proceeds from it. And
I see.
We were happy to do it. It's a cause, you know, I mean, it's a burgeoning, it's what we are, and it's a burgeoning musical form. And so they asked us, and Bill said, he said, "Man, hey, why don't we write a new song? We'll just play one new song in our set, and that would be kind of fun." And I said, "Hey, that's a great idea." So we booked 2 days because we thought, good God, what if we can't, you know, what if we come up with nothing the first day?
Yeah.
You know, it's been a while.
True.
Know? We wrote 3 songs in 2 days. Ended up playing all 3 of those songs in that set.
Wow. Wow.
And the roof kind of went off the place.
Nice.
And so, you know, I said, well, hey, let's get together every Wednesday for a month and see what happens.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of that month, we'd written four more. We kind of knew by the end of that month, it's like, you know, we should go make another record.
Well, obviously, yeah, you still had it.
It was still going on, yeah. And so we really looked forward to it, and it was fun.
Well, Radney, let's check out the title cut from It's Already Tomorrow, followed by Crazy Over You, music by Foster and Lloyd on Notably Texan. More coming up with my guest Radney Foster on 88.9 KETR.
This room looks different in daylight. Something changed somewhere past midnight. Who knows where this is headed? But in this new light, it's time we said it. Love is not some word you just throw around. It's already tomorrow. How did it get here so fast? Heart takes a ride in the blink of an eye. It sure wasn't part of some plan. Oh, we tried to follow. It's all. Three time zones down, knowing you're asleep by now. Two young lovers across the aisle, they make me think of us and I smile. Wishing I was back home holding you. But it's already tomorrow. How did it get here so fast? Your heart takes a ride. Our kids the story of how we fell. I'll tell that tale once again, 'cause they love how the story ends. It's already tomorrow. How did it go by so fast? Love took the wheel when we started this deal. Time flew by in the blink of an eye. Part of some plan, oh, we tried to follow. It's already tomorrow. It's already tomorrow. Tomorrow. It's all.
Howdy, everybody. This is Radney Foster, and you're listening to my good friend Matt on Notably Texan, 88.9 KETR.
Yeah,
Tonight's guest is Radney Foster. You're listening to Notably Texan on 88.9 KETR. So we're just talking about this. After the breakup of Foster and Lloyd, you embarked on your solo career with a long list of songs on the music charts. Obviously, after the breakup of Foster and Lloyd, it certainly was not a downturn for your music career, because you had some big hits like Just Call Me Lonesome, Nobody Wins, just to name a couple of those, and also some other big numbers that were recorded by some other acts. Notable Texas figures like the Dixie Chicks did a rendition of your tune Godspeed Sweet Dreams, and I wanted to ask you, is it something you enjoy to hear other singers' interpretations of your work?
Always. Always.
Cool.
You know, I mean, I have a lot of hardcore fans who get kind of upset, and it's like, I like you. Why did you let them do that?
Yeah.
I was like, well, I don't really have a choice, first of all. And once the song's recorded, then anyone else can go after it and go record it again.
True.
And two, it's feeding my children.
Well, right. Exactly.
It gets played on the radio. I get the loyalty, too. It's a real enjoyable thing. And to be really honest, there's, you know, sometimes I would hear things and I'd go, gosh, they didn't hook it. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten to where it's like, I realized they have to change it from the way I did it.
Sure, if they just do a straight
ahead
cover.
Because if they do it exactly the same, they haven't figured out how to make it their own.
Right. Well, no, that's good to hear, because I always wonder, you know, how an artist feels when they've done a song, they've recorded their own version, and then somebody else records it, mm-hmm. and everybody goes gaga over it, you know?
So, no, you know, for me, it's always been a real compliment. I mean, I told somebody, I said, yeah, I'm just thankful somebody besides my mother in her living room is listening to my music, you know?
Right. That's good to hear. You know, that's humbling to know that you can appreciate that as a renowned songwriter yourself, and you can appreciate these other artists' versions of your songs.
Oh, well, sure.
Dragon tails and the water is white. Pirates sail and lost boys fly. Fish bite moonbeams every night. And I love you. Godspeed, little man. Sweet dreams. Oh, my love will fly to you each night on angels' wings. Godspeed, sweet dream.
That's Radney's version of Godspeed. Let's check out how the Dixie Chicks put their spin on it.
Dragon tails in the water. What pirates sail and lost boys fly. Fish bite moonbeams every night. And I love you. Godspeed, little man. Sweet dreams, little man. Oh, my love. Godspeed. Rockin' racers all tuckered out. Superman's in pajamas on the couch. Goodnight moon, we'll find the mouse. And I love you. Godspeed, little man. Sweet dreams, little man.
Rodney, in the past few years, you've stepped out and created your own record label called Devil's River. I wanted to ask you, after being on all these other labels over the years, is it kind of liberating to be out from under another label's direction? And I don't know how much meddling, per se, these labels have done in your music over the years. Has that been a good experience for you to have your own label?
Yeah, absolutely. I was really fortunate. I mean, I am one of the rare examples of being in situations where very little meddling went on. I was really allowed to create what I wanted to create. And
nice.
Then the record company would then follow through and have, you know, some say about how much they were going to spend on marketing it,
of course,
on how commercial they thought it was, you know. Even when I left major labels, when I left Arista Records and was working with Dual Tone, that was as a lease situation. So basically I made the records and found a business partner.
Okay.
Who really believed in me and would really go out and market them. So I've definitely, from the creative side, been dealing with having, you know, my entire, you know, the burden of it was all on me.
Okay.
In that respect, for quite some time. However, I really depended upon them for the marketing and the radio promotions.
Yes.
And all of those kinds of things that go on after you've made a record and put it out. And I'm really thankful to those guys because they were a good transition for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think they knew sooner or later I would go, oh, you know, I think I can just do this myself.
Yeah.
And they knew it, and they taught me things along the way. I have a lot of appreciation for them, and I know that they were also sad for me to, you know, try to, you know, go off and do it on my own. They totally understood, and were, you know, I'm good friends with those guys, and call and ask them advice. You know, I mean, they have actually done some internet marketing for me.
That's cool.
On different occasions.
Gotcha. Yeah. Sometimes people don't really think about so many things that go into when you do release an album. Like you're saying, all the promotion, all lining up the radio.
Yeah, and it's a team. Yeah, it's a team effort.
Here's music by tonight's guest, Radney Foster, with Pat Green on the tune Texas in 1880. This is the Notably Texan feature interview on 88.9 KETR.
I can hear the wind whisper my name, telling me it's time to get out again. My horses are trailered and the lights are shut down. I'm long overdue for heading out of town. Got a fever that they call the rodeo. Just enough winnings to make the next show. Sometimes you make eight, sometimes you hit dirt. Go on, pin another number to the back of my shirt, and I'll ride that pony fast. Like a cowboy from the past. Be young and wild and free. Like Texas. Down to San Antonio, there's boys who are riding for legendary fame, and our money's all gone, but we still ride the same. Our hearts are getting broken and our heads are getting busted. We'll always believe in the things that we trusted. There'll be those nights when glory comes round, and we'll tip our hats and wave to the crowd. See that buckle hanging there on your belt. I ask you just how it felt to ride that pony fast. Like a cowboy from the past. Be young and wild and free. Like Texas.
Your 2009 record, Revival, was inspired by some major events, I think, in your personal life. I don't want to get into anything, you know, too personal, but would you be willing to briefly talk about some of the inspiration behind
it? Sure. When I was writing the Revival record, I lost my father to cancer, and my son, who had been living in France for 13 years with his mom, came home to go to college down the street from me.
Wow.
And his stepmom. Then, in addition to that, I turned 50. And any of those three events would be enough to make you sort of rethink both your vertical and your horizontal relationships.
Yeah.
But all three coming at once pretty much made me really take a big look at, you know, who I was and what was going on in my life. And,
yes.
That's really what that's born out of. And so it's without a doubt the most gospel-tinged record I've ever made. I don't call it a real gospel record because about half the songs on there aren't gospel songs in any way. They're just things that I wrote during that time period. But they're, but about half of them really could be construed as a recording of my spiritual experiences and a real gospel feel. Several songs that have, you know, the last chorus comes around and the gospel choir kicks in.
Yeah.
And so, and yet it rocks. You know, there are certain songs that are as punkish as anything I've ever done. I think Revival is basically a punk rock song, a protest song disguised as a gospel song.
Yeah.
You know, too, there's a song on there that is about the death of my father called I Know You Can Hear Me. You know, and there's a really couple sweet, really awesome love songs. I mean, there's a song on there called If You Want to Be Loved. And it's about making room. You know, you can't really, unless you're willing to make room in your life for that other human being, you're not going to be able to figure out how to make that come together.
Yes. I also noticed you've got some great guest appearances basically on that album too.
Oh yeah. I'm always trying to look for that if I can. You know, always try to get somebody who will come by and do something that's a lot more talented than I am.
Oh, well now, I wasn't going down that road at all, but...
No, I do. I say, hey, surround yourself with people who are more talented than you are and you'll do very well.
Wow, that's some good
Steve Jobs. That is a Steve Jobs quote.
Is it really? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's some pretty good advice.
Yeah.
Well, Radney, let's listen to a pair of songs from Revival.
Sure, absolutely.
Here are A Little Revival and Angel Flight on listener-supported 88.9 KETR. This is the Notably Texan feature interview.
Look at that boy in the river, soaking wet with faith. Look at that girl on the courthouse steps, saying things gotta change. There's that woman on the corner, handing that coffee in the word. She's listening to working girls, the ones that never get hurt. Every time I think I'm lost, this world's nothing but luck. God always sends someone down. In the subway, it might change the world someday. If it's Jerusalem or in Tiananmen Square, didn't it all get started 'cause someone stood up somewhere? Hallelujah, little revival. Amen to love.
Foster, and you're listening to Notably Texan, 88.9 KETR.
All I ever wanted to do was fly, leave this world and live in the sky. I left the C-130 out of Fort Worth town. I go up some days, I don't want to come down. Well, I fly that plane, call the angel flight. Come on, brother, you're with me tonight. Between heaven and earth, you're never alone. On the angel flight, come on, brother, I'm taking you home. I love my family and I love this land, but tonight this flight's for another man. We do what we do cause we heard the call. Some gave a little, but he gave it all. I fly that plane, call the angel flight. And come on, brother, you're with me tonight.
Come on, brother, you're with me tonight.
Between heaven and earth, you're never alone. On the angel flight, come on, brother, I'm taking you home. Come on, brother, I'm taking you home. Well, the carpet's quiet and the stars are bright. Feels kinda like church in here tonight. It don't matter where we touch down. On the angel flight, it's sacred ground. When I fly that plane, call the angel flight. Got a hero riding with us tonight.
With us tonight.
Between heaven and earth, you're never alone. On the angel flight, come on, brother, I'm taking you home. Come on, brother, I'm taking you home. Come on, brother, I'm taking you home. Come on, brother, I'm taking you.
With Radney Foster tonight on the show, and I know you're a busy guy, and we're about to wrap it up here, man. I thank you for taking this time. I just wanted to ask you, I know you're back on tour with your old buddy Bill Lloyd. Are you guys kind of enjoying the good old days vibe right now?
Absolutely. It's been really, really fun, and we've been going out just as a four-piece, which has made things just really get tight, and we've kind of dug in and honed that really hard.
Yeah.
So it's been really neat. We've actually gone out and done some unplugged gigs as well, which has really been fun because we end up telling stories as much as we end up singing. So.
Yes, I bet. I assume you two are got to be looking forward to sharing this bill in Greenville with fellow legends Chris Hillman and Herb Peterson.
Oh, gosh. You know, those guys. Chris, in particular, was such a huge influence on Foster and Lloyd when he was in the Byrds and when he was in the Flying Burrito Brothers.
Yes.
I mean, that both of those bands really, really influenced what Foster and Lloyd sounded like. And it could be argued, you know, everybody always talked about us as sort of, you know, Bakersfield met the Beatles. But it could be argued that it really was the Byrds that we were you know, trying to figure out how to be like.
Wow, that's cool. So, I mean, have you had the opportunity to meet these guys before? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. When they were touring as a part of the Desert Rose Band, you know, we did lots of gigs with them back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Cool.
In that time period. So, and it's been really a huge thrill for me to get to know Chris Hillman. I mean, he's been, you know, how many times do you get to, you know, meet and share a stage with somebody who was your idol as a kid?
I know.
Very rare.
Well, this is going to be a reconnection on a lot of levels. Not only are you getting to, again, play with Bill Lloyd, but getting to share the stage with Chris and Herb. That's just so cool, man. Before we run out of time, Radney, I wanted to let you know, if I haven't mentioned this already, we're a public radio station. We depend on listener support out there, and I wondered if you might have any words for listeners on the importance of pledging support to a public station like KETR and keeping a show like Notably Texan on the air. I figure you've probably dealt with some public radio stations in your many years doing this.
Absolutely. I love public radio. As a matter of fact, I am a contributor to my local public radio stations, both in San Antonio and in Nashville.
Cool.
You know, I think it's a great resource for our country. It allows some voices that aren't often heard to be heard, especially on a musical level. That is a joy. It's not a lot, or as much as you can. You know, as much as you feel comfortable with, you know, if you're listening, dig in and give back.
Every dollar really does make a difference.
Oh, absolutely.
Appreciate your words on that. Radney, this has been a true honor for me. I've, like I said, wanted to talk to you for many years, but finally gotten this opportunity, and really looking forward to the show coming up in Greenville. Anything you got in the works right now that you want to let us know about?
I am about to re-record the Del Rio, Texas 1959 album.
Really?
In an unplugged manner with a bunch of bluegrass players in Austin, Texas. So it's going to be a retake on that, but also I'm adding a new song that I think would, you know, 20 years later, if I were going to re-record that album, I would say, oh, you know, this song might fit on there, and I think we might even throw in an old cover as well. So
cool.
It's going to be a really fun experience. It's completely unplugged. We're actually going to try to do it with no headphones, live to tape. So,
wow. Going truly old school on that.
Absolutely.
Nice. Well, looking forward to that. So we'll certainly keep a lookout and figure out when that's going to be coming out. And that's exciting stuff, man. I sincerely appreciate you taking some time to talk to Notably Texan tonight. And I wish you continued success, man.
Oh, thanks so much, man. Pleasure's all mine.
Before we wrap it up tonight, here are two more tracks from the Foster and Lloyd album, It's Already Tomorrow. Check out Don't Throw It Away and When I Finally Let You Go on Notably Texan.
I got a memory wrapped in time, back from the days when you were mine, but it's so bittersweet. I know we put that love to rest, but you had the life I loved the best, and that's so much to me. Throw it away.
Texas fried music, smothered with gravy on Notably Texan.
When I finally let you go and give your love away, my soul and heart will be torn apart on that sad but beautiful day. When I finally give you up and go down that lonely road, I hope you'll learn to understand when I finally let you go. I can't help the way I feel. You've always been my girl. Someone else will win your heart. That's the way of the world. And all that I can do is stand by you and watch you learn to fly away. Sad and beautiful day, I hope and pray you'll find your way when I finally let you go.
Thanks again to Radney Foster for joining us on tonight's Notably Texan feature interview.
No big deal, man. Thanks very much.
This segment has been a production of 88.9 KETR Radio, a non-commercial broadcast service of Texas A&M University Commerce. We depend on contributions from listeners just like you to provide things like this on Notably Texan. Do your part to keep the Texas music alive. Let us continue to bring you interesting and in-depth interviews with Texas artists from around the great state with a donation right now at KETR.org. Click support this station and give whatever you can. Every dollar really does make a difference. I'm your host and producer, Matt Minky. Thanks so much for listening.